Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder, if you want to hear more about the coup in Albany, sign up for our free political podcast, Digesting Politics. Every week, Bob Henley, Andrea Bernstein, and I get together and talk politics over lunch. This is a web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio, but it is free. Sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, the Dock Street Development Project in Dumbo faces a final city council vote tomorrow. At stake, approval of a zoning change that would allow an 18-story residential complex to be built right next to the Brooklyn Bridge. There's major community opposition to the project from residents, including public figures, documentary filmmaker Ken Burns, historian David McCullough, who wrote a history of the Brooklyn Bridge. They argue that the iconic views of the Brooklyn Bridge and the Manhattan Bridge will be destroyed by the development. The Walentis family, who own the Dock Street property and many of the properties in Dumbo, defend their project, which would include some affordable housing and a public middle school, which the area will need if so many new residences are constructed. The City Council Land Use Committee approved the project last week, and it is considered likely that the full council will also approve it, despite opposition from the local council member, David Yaski, who joins me now. We'll hear from a proponent of the project after that. Councilman Yaski, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Why are you so opposed?
Just because of what you said, that the Brooklyn Bridge is one of a handful of treasures in the city, and we have to protect it. And it's not just views of the bridge, although there are places in the Brooklyn neighborhood there, Dumbo, where the view will be obscured, but it's the views from the bridge, the experience of walking or biking or even driving over the Brooklyn Bridge. That's one of the great experiences in New York City. We should not tamper with that at all.
The developers argue that it won't really block the views. And in fact, the Brooklyn paper, which has been so famously critical of Atlantic Yards, came out in favor of the project and argues that it only blocks views from a couple of spots on unpopulated streets.
Well, it blocks some views from the streets around the bridge, but again, I'm talking about the view if you are on the walkway, walking across the bridge.
Toward Brooklyn.
Either way, if you're walking toward Manhattan, it blocks the view looking toward the Manhattan Bridge, and there are places where it will block your view of the water and the Manhattan Bridge. If you're walking toward Brooklyn, it changes what you see. Just the way there's for your listeners in New York City, there's a giant Verizon building on the Manhattan side. If you're walking on the bridge toward Manhattan, you see a big, hulking, ugly building that has the giant Verizon logo on it. Does it ruin the experience? No, it's still a glorious experience. Does it mar it? It does. And we shouldn't do the same thing on the Brooklyn side. Put a big new building. You know, the proponents will say, well, it's designed to be beautiful. It's not ugly like the Verizon building. Well, we shouldn't take that chance. Right now, it's one of the priceless experiences. There's no reason to tamper with it.
I mentioned Ken Burns, David McCullough making the same argument about the experience of viewing the iconic bridge. Number of celebrity residents of the area have joined in on this. But is this more really a question of residential property values?
It really isn't. That's what I want to be clear about. Certainly there are people in the neighborhood whose concerns are parochial. I'm sure there are. You know, there are people who worried about their particular view. That's not what brought David McCullough in, Pulitzer Prize winning author of, as you said, the definitive book about the Brooklyn Bridge. That's not what brought Ken Burns in. That's not what brought Christian Roebling, the descendant of the bridge designer and builder, John and Washington Roebling. That's not what brought them in. This is not a parochial issue. This is an issue about protecting one of the city's greatest treasures.
By the way, we got an email saying Dock Street Dumbo would be 17 stories. I said 18. Maybe that's true. I don't know that it changes the issue.
It doesn't. It's roughly 9 stories above the roadway. That's how people can picture it. If you're standing on the bridge roadway, the building will rise 9 stories above you.
Now, the housing. 20% of the housing units will be considered affordable. This has been a big selling point for council member Letitia James, for example, and other supporters. Affordable housing is often the concession that council members demand in exchange for their support. Do you have a problem with affordable housing measures in this project, or is that not more important than somebody's view?
Happy to have the affordable housing. I want that. I want a school in the area I represent. It's not enough to compromise the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, here you just have to stand on principle sometimes and say side benefits aren't enough to justify doing something that's just plain wrong. And there's no need for it. We can have affordable housing elsewhere in Dumbo, which I support thoroughly. We can have a school elsewhere in the neighborhood. In fact, I have proposed 5 other locations in this area for the same middle school that the developer says he's going to build, and every one of them they have rejected. And they've done it in a way that I think actually kind of casts some doubt on the integrity of the school construction authority that is in charge of the project.
What do you mean? I know you made a Freedom of Information Act request for the School Construction Authority to release documents in relation to the negotiating and contracting process for the school. What's there we should care about?
Just listen to this, Brian, and listeners. When I gave them several other locations, I said these would be better places for a school. Then Freedom of Information Act uncovered an email from the deputy at the School Construction Authority to the project manager that says, David Yaski sent us other ideas, and now I'm reading this verbatim. It says, now I know that if we don't do the Walentis project, that we don't really want to do anything else over there. But I think we have to follow up on this just so we can say that the Walentis project is such a good deal. In other words, I said, these are better places for a school. Look at these other places. They said, in this private email internally, they said, let's pretend to look at the other places so we can say the Walentis project is a good deal. I think that's pretty shocking.
At least they would have a school, right? Atlantic Yards with all those proposed residential apartments, no additional school.
Right. Well, look, I don't like the Atlantic Yards project either. And by the way, the planning for schools has been atrocious in the city. The idea that there are kids who are getting ready to enter kindergarten and they can't go to their neighborhood school that would be a block or 2 blocks away, that is such a betrayal of regular families trying to just get by in the city. I think it's one of the worst things the city's done.
30 seconds left. On the politics, you've been opposed to development on this site by the Walentis since 2004, when they originally proposed a zoning change and development project. Your colleagues on the council joined you in opposition. Normally, members will defer to the member who represents the district, you in this case. Why are they not supporting your position now?
You know, I just think that the city government is very pro-development, and developers in the real estate industry have been able to, to engineer a very pro-development bias. I'm trying to push back in the other direction.
So this final vote is tomorrow. You want people to contact Christine Quinn if they're on your side?
Well, I want people to call their local council members and let them know this is a bad idea, a bad project, and the council should vote it down.
City Council Member David Yaski of Brooklyn, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And now the other side of the Two Trees development proposal for Dumbo near the Brooklyn Bridge. Ken Fisher, former council member and spokesperson for Two Trees Management in this Dock Street development project. Ken Fisher, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian, and also somebody who lives about a 3-minute walk away from the Brooklyn Bridge.
All right. So you were listening in on the conversation I just had with David Yaski. Let's start with the view issue, and you've heard what's been said about Ken Burns, David McCullough, the descendant of Roebling. These are people who love the Brooklyn Bridge more than anybody.
Well, I'm not sure that they love the Brooklyn Bridge more than Community Board number 2, which voted 30-9 in favor of the project, or more than the members of the City Planning Commission who voted 9-2 in favor of the project, or members of the Land Use Committee of the City Council who voted 17-4 in favor of the project. And the reason for that is, and I want to be clear with everyone right up front about this, that the fears about the impact that this proposed building would have are greatly exaggerated. In fact, I think that the turning point in this debate came during the subcommittee hearing conducted by Tony Avella, council member who's opposed to the project. Jack Beyer, the architect from a very well-known preservation firm, did the renovation of Grand Central, was presenting a model, a 3D model of the neighborhood at City Hall. And Chairman Avella interrupted him and said, could you point out which building it is, because the members are having trouble figuring out where the new building is in relationship to the rest of the neighborhood. And he said, well, that's the point. It's entirely in context. The Brooklyn paper, as you mentioned, did their own survey. They walked the streets of Dumbo and Brooklyn Heights. Christine Quinn herself went up with the opponents of the project, including David Yasky, and then with the developer, looked at it carefully from all different angles. And the overwhelming consensus of most of the people who have been involved in this process, who don't have some other agenda or stake, has been that it's perfectly in context and will have minimal impact. And, in fact, I would tell people, go to the website, which is www.dockstreetdumbo.com. There's an animation up there that shows what it would be like to go over the Brooklyn Bridge on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Building has been adjusted. It's actually slightly smaller than because we haven't updated the animation.
So Ken Burns know what he's looking at? David McCullough doesn't know what he's looking at?
David McCullough said in an interview with the Brooklyn paper that he thought that the buildings on both sides of the bridge should be torn down to create some kind of a national park around the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, that's a great academic conceit. It's kind of disrespectful to the thousands of people who live and work in those neighborhoods. It's not that they don't know what they're talking about. They have exaggerated their concerns. And a great example of that, my friend David Yasky refers to the Verizon building. I think everybody agrees it's a terrible addition to the skyline. It's also three times the size of what we're planning on building. And, in fact, if you look over towards the Manhattan side, in front of the Verizon building are some brown housing brown buildings, residential buildings. Mm-hmm. They're about the same size as what we're proposing, and nobody even notices them.
We talked to David Yasky about the school portion of the project, the internal documents released by the School Construction Authority revealing that they were actually planning on contracting with Two Trees Management all along. What's your reaction to these claims?
Well, first of all, the SCA testified at the hearing that notwithstanding that email, they actually went ahead and evaluated all of the sites. One of the sites that the council member proposed was at PS 8 in Brooklyn Heights. That would have cost the city $83 million and required that public school to be closed for 2 years. No wonder they rejected it. The other site that's specifically referred to in that email, it has a $6 million mortgage on it. No one is offering to provide that for free or to build the building for free. And that's exactly what Two Trees offered. They have offered a gift that is worth tens of millions of dollars. They are going to be donating the structure, the walls, the that surround the space, the roof, the ceiling, donating the land to the city of New York at no cost. It's a multi-million dollar gift. No wonder the School Construction Authority thought that was a wonderful thing for the city.
Why does it take public opposition to get developers, and I realize you can only speak for yours, Two Trees Management, to give the community some amenities? Because this project failed to pass the rezoning process back in 2004. It was after that that you added affordable units and building out the shell of a public school. Why aren't these things in there as a matter of course?
Well, first of all, I want to say that one of the things about Two Trees Management is that they have provided wonderful amenities to the community without getting anything in return. They're well known for having sponsored and provided free space to many arts organizations and others. In fact, the 2004 proposal, it wasn't a great proposal because they didn't own the entire block, and the building was oriented so it would have blocked about 200 feet along the walkway of the bridge. The building now is only about 56 feet wide. But the reason that there's a school in there, I'm the one that suggested it to them. I had been approached by the City Planning Commission. They were looking for places for schools. They couldn't find them. Nobody's yet come forward with a viable one. I was the one that went to Willentis and said, do you have some place for a school? They were exactly responding to what the community had been asking for and which everybody was supporting.
Right. We have 2 minutes left. Two other things real quick. How much public subsidy is going to this project if it gets approved?
Well, there's no public subsidy for the development per se. There are some loan programs that they'll be able to apply for that are available when you're doing low income housing and sort of other tax incentives that actually David Yasky wrote the law and the rules for that are basically if you qualify them, you're entitled to get them. But in terms of public subsidy, the city school construction authority will build the inside of the school. The Walentis family is donating the structure of the school building itself.
When you get those loans that you're talking about, then you're required to build 20% affordable housing, aren't you?
Well, the loans are to facilitate it. The program that Councilmember Yaski sponsored in the 421A program was all designed to encourage people. And that's a really important point, Brian, because as of right, without any zoning change whatever, without the need for any council approval whatever, the site would accommodate a hotel building that would be just as tall and much closer to the bridge. They're not proposing to build that. They're proposing to build something that fits into the context and provides a lot of the needs that that community has.
But you abandoned that because you couldn't make any money off it, I heard.
Oh, no, that's simply untrue. And anybody who wants to put that theory to the test is taking a terrible risk that the citizens of New York don't deserve.
Last thing from our website, Zach from Washington Heights writes, how affordable is the affordable housing? Could I afford it? I'd love to live in Dumbo.
Well, I don't know how much money Zach makes, but the apartments will be affordable to people who make less than 60% of the area median. That's a fancy way of saying that roughly people making $25,000 to $30,000, roughly in that ballpark, will be able to afford the apartments.
Ken Fisher, former council member, spokesman for Two Trees Management in this Dock Street development project in Dumbo. City Council votes on the rezoning tomorrow. Thank you for coming on. Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Kira Feldman produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor. We had intern help from Jordan Schneider and Maureen Sullivan, and that's Jason Isaac at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.